Welcome to Winning the Moment, the podcast that explores the art of living the life you want and becoming the person you want to be. Your host, Cody Adent, is a published author and the mind behind the book, Winning the Moment. This isn't just a podcast. It's a guide and a roadmap to inspire and empower you to conquer life's challenges, embrace your wins, learn from your losses, and make the most of every single moment in your life.
Wherever you are and however you're listening, thanks for being back with us on another episode of Winning the Moment. This is episode 33 with Jake Hutton. He is the man behind Fitness Culture, and we talk a lot about fitness. We talk about macros and diets and how he defines success. It's absolutely a fun episode. You're going to love it. Be sure to like and subscribe and enjoy the episode. On today's episode, I've got Jake Hutton here with me. He is a fitness guru and part of the brand behind Fitness Culture, an incredible gym here in St. George. Jake, thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, man. Excited to be here.
It's a cool story how Jake and I met. So I get my haircut done at his gym. There's a barbershop there. And if you guys are listeners, you've had Eli on this episode before. And I was in there and a friend of mine, Brody, came in and said that you guys were looking for an office space. And that's kind of how our relationship started, as we kind of dabbled into curiosity of doing an office together. And that was like 2 years ago now.
That was 2 years ago.
God, time goes by so fast.
It doesn't exist. We just talked about it.
Yep. It's still just dirt.
That building was not built.
We were supposed to be in that office right now, and it is still today dirt. It'll be cool when it's done. But
it'll be sick when it's done.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Well, and actually, so Tech Ridge, Isaac, the guy behind it, so I don't know if you know this, but he just sold Busy Busy. Mm-hmm. That was his tech company. Yeah, yeah. He sold it for, I think, $86 million. And so he's going to be all in on Tech Ridge now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That'll so I think that was the idea behind it. I think it's the biggest business sale ever in St. George history.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's cool. $86 million. That's a pretty penny. Money. That's not bad.
Yeah, Tech Ridge is going to be insane.
Oh, yeah.
Once it comes together.
I can't wait. When it's all finished, I think everywhere that St. George is going, even like, so I live out in Desert Color, mm-hmm. and all the growth out there has been amazing. Like, it's what St. George needs.
Yeah.
Where are you from?
I'm from Idaho.
Oh, you are? Okay. Which part?
Pocatello, Idaho.
What brought you to St. George?
Steve, really. So at one point I was a strength coach up in Cedar City at SUU.
Oh, okay. Like with the college?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure at some point we'll get into my background.
Yeah.
But at one point I was a strength coach there. So I knew of the area.
Yeah.
St. George, like we came down here quite a bit just to get out of the cold weather.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, so me and Steve, when we started working together and decided we were going to open a gym.
And how did you guys meet?
Yeah. You want me to just
roll
my background?
Yeah, let's do it.
So I was a college athlete. I played football at Utah State.
Okay.
After that.
What position did you play?
I was a linebacker.
Okay.
Yeah. So played there. After that, I became a college strength coach. So I got a job at Southern Utah University. I worked there for a couple of years as a college strength coach. And then I started getting into CrossFit. One of my buddies.
That's right.
So one of my buddies came down. So the head strength coach at Southern Utah, his wife was on a CrossFit team that won the CrossFit Games. And so then they hired a graduate assistant to come work under us at the time that was on her team. And then me and him just became best friends, and I started getting into CrossFit. And so then I just went kind of all into that world.
Yeah, Spencer, when you first came into the office, Spencer, our VP, is like a CrossFit junkie.
Yeah.
He's like, that's Jake Hutton. I was like, yeah. He's like, dude, he's a CrossFit legend.
I don't know about that, but I used to be okay at CrossFit. So yeah, then I just kind of went after the CrossFit is what turned me into kind of an entrepreneur. Because I was kind of on the path of, I mean, when you're in the, I mean, it's kind of like just a system, man. College football, like when you're in there. Because one of my buddies that I work out with, like he's a college football coach right now. So,
yeah.
And like people just don't leave it that much, you know?
Yeah, you're right. You're just in it.
It's a great, it's fun because you're around athletes all the time.
Right.
And you're doing what you love. But I just started doing CrossFit, so I wanted to compete in that more.
Was that like to fill that void that you lost with football, like to be able to be competitive?
Yeah. Because honestly, like I was a hater of CrossFit. I still don't believe in like a lot of the stuff that gets done.
Yeah.
If it's programmed incorrectly, there's a reason there's so many injuries.
Yeah, right. Like, lifting big weights if you don't know how to do it right.
Yeah, it's a lot. The biggest thing in CrossFit is Olympic lifting for time is very dangerous. And then gymnastic movements for time are very dangerous, like handstand push-ups and that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah,
like skipping pull-ups.
I can't get into CrossFit because everything's just too hard for me.
It's like... Yeah. So it's easy to get injured, but it's very fun to compete in.
Yeah.
So I was a hater of it, and then all of a sudden I was competing in it for a few years. But we ended up – so I was at SUU. My buddy Mike ended up leaving. And then anyway, we ended up moving up to Salt Lake together to compete on some CrossFit teams up there, and then took over some gyms, and then I ran some gyms up there. So yeah, the way that we met with Steve is my buddy Mike that worked with me at SGU. We started kind of an online training company. It was called Brute Strength.
And how long ago was that?
And when was that?
That'd been your first one.
Yeah, so that was probably like 2015.
Okay.
Around that time.
Yeah.
And so we started that, and it became very successful. And Steve, through just some friends, wanted to get into CrossFit. And so that's how we met him.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Interesting.
So we started Brute Strength. We coached a ton of CrossFit athletes. Steve came in once because he was kind of wanted to dabble in the CrossFit space.
Yeah.
And so we started programming for him a little bit.
And had Steve done anything at that point? Like, had he done the Gymshark stuff? Or
I don't even know if Gymshark was really
around at that time.
Barely starting at that point. Yeah, yeah. Because when I first met Steve, he was kind of just signing with Gymshark.
Okay.
Like the year later.
So it's like the very beginning of like his story.
So Steve had already been like, I think, competed on the Mr. Olympia stage in physique.
Okay.
You know? So like he was established. And he had like at the time, I mean, he still has a ton of followers, but at the time, he had a ton.
It
was Instagram's kind of new, and he already had a ton of followers.
Okay, so he's already on that path.
Yeah, yeah, he was already there. Like, I mean, I remember he was filming YouTube when he came into the gym.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, like the first time that we trained with him. So like he was already doing that.
Yeah, that's cool.
So anyway, we became friends with Steve, and then kind of started to do a program with Steve. It was called Big and Lean at the time.
Big and Lean?
Yeah, Big and Lean. That's what it was named at the time. And we used a third party app for that. Because we were using a third-party app to train our clients in Brute as well.
Okay.
So we partnered with Steve to build a kind of a training program for him.
Yeah.
To train his clients. And so I was writing all the programs and stuff like that.
Do you just self-teach yourself how to do all that?
No. So I was an exercise science major at Utah State.
And okay.
And I mean, I actually didn't get my master's at SGU, but I just, the only thing I didn't do, I left SGU. I never went back to defend my thesis.
Oh, like, really?
I did the study and everything.
So you were one step away from having a master's?
I was just too lazy to go back and finish it. I probably should just finish it because it wouldn't be that hard.
But, yeah. Could you do that now, do you think? Like,
there's a 6 year. You have to have it done in 6 years, and I lost that a couple years ago.
Okay, so it's over. It's out the window.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure they'd let me
take
a few more classes and just get it done, you know?
Yeah. But, okay, so you start.
It just wasn't going to help me. So
you start Big and Lean with Steve, and are you still living in Salt Lake at the time then?
Yeah, so that's at that time I lived in Salt Lake, and I was right after that I opened my own CrossFit gym too. So
was that up north too?
Yeah, that was up in Salt Lake area. So we did that, and then me and Steve just became friends and started talking about opening a gym together. And then we were looking at this area because this whole thing was like, why did I come to St. George, right?
Yeah,
to wrap back around to that. we looked in the Phoenix area forever, and it was just hard to find a spot.
Yeah,
and we both liked St. George. And so
is Steve from St. George?
He played football here.
That's what I thought.
So
okay,
he has a lot of ties to St. George, and so we just love the weather, love the area. We came back. Honestly, I lived in Scottsdale at the time, and it was just it's not an environment that I like. I'm from a small town.
Yeah,
and
right.
So, like, just the kind of like the flashiness and the ideals there are just like not how I am.
Yeah.
And we came back here to look at a gym, and I was like, just felt a lot more comfortable here. It was a good space. And so we just pulled the trigger.
And is that the same gym where Fitness Culture is today then?
Same space.
Yeah. How long ago did you guys open that?
2018.
Okay.
January 2018.
5 years now?
Yeah. So we're almost six.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
How many members do you have? Can you share that?
We have like 400.
Okay.
We try to keep the membership low.
So it's not overcrowded.
It's a little bit higher price compared to the gyms in town, not compared to, I mean, other gyms around the country.
Yeah, right.
Are starting to go to
What's a membership at your gym?
It's a 75.
Okay, yeah, that's not bad.
No.
Yeah, because like a F45 or like an Orange Theory, like 130.
You're like getting coached in a class.
Yeah.
We don't do that.
Do you guys have trainers?
Like, come do your own thing.
Do you have trainers there at all?
We do have trainers,
Yeah.
But they just rent space from us.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. So then now we're talking before about your apps. So now you create apps for other people, right?
Yeah. So that's what I do. That's like my main business right now. I guess, I mean, there is some other stuff that happened too. So when I was running that CrossFit gym, while I was working with Brute and with Steve, we started doing some marketing to get people into our own gym.
Yeah.
And that just led into a different business that I started. There was this marketing company where, I mean, after a couple of years, we were working with like a couple thousand gyms. All over, mostly in the United States, but some like in Australia and the UK.
So it's kind of interesting. So I'm sure you know Alex Hormozi, right?
Yeah. So we did something. What we were doing was very similar to what he was doing.
Sounds like it.
He did a lot. He did it smarter. So he like. So what we did, we we did a model where basically we would pay for the ad spend, and we would handle getting you the leads, getting you the bookings, teach you how to interview them, all that stuff for a 2-week period, and get people into your gym for a challenge.
Yeah.
What he did was charged the gyms $16,000.
That's right.
It was like $1,000 a week to teach them how to do it themselves.
Yeah.
And then he kept them on a monthly fee to obviously like update the content, give them stuff that was working, and kind of like created this whole community of people, of just business owners that were kind of doing it their own. So instead of doing it for them, he ended up teaching them how to do it and then brought them into the fold, as far as like he kept them on because he was constantly creating obviously like
challenges,
new hooks
stuff.
Stuff like that to get people into the door, and like just figuring like when stuff would stop working, he'd find a way to make it work again. So anyway, instead of doing it for him, he taught him that.
But
so
it's like, kind of similar that you guys were doing a similar thing.
It was very similar. So we,
did you know that at the time, or was that until like,
we did,
you did?
So we just didn't. So what, when we first started, it was called Gym Builder. When we first started that, it was easy, dude. Like people don't understand how really easy, like local marketing on Facebook, if you have good creative.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot. Like at the time it was like, dude, we make an ad, we set the ad, we target everyone within a 3-mile radius of a gym.
Right.
And just blow it up.
Yeah.
Spend enough money that we get the gym enough leads. And we just had good follow-up systems.
Do you still do that stuff now for other gyms? Are you still do marketing for them?
Yeah, we do. So what we did at the time, because it was so easy, I was like, man, we need to come up with a backup plan for this because it's not going to last forever because people are going to learn how to do this themselves.
Yeah,
it was
right.
Kind of like when Facebook was really new, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, you could put an ad up, and like the first year that we were doing it, like we would spend $500 on Facebook and get people like hundreds of leads.
Wow.
Like hundreds of interviews would come in. Like one of our gyms one time for a 6-week challenge signed up for $300 for the challenge. They signed up 100 people.
Holy shit.
And our model was we would pay for the ad spend and we would take 60% and the gym would get 40%.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you took all the risk.
And we took the risk. It was easy for them. They just had to give us their time, 2 weeks to interview people and onboard them for the challenge. But then they would obviously have a client, potentially have a client forever.
Yeah, right. If they did a good job, they're staying at the gym.
It cost them nothing.
And you only got 60% of that one-time fee that they were charging for the challenge, like $300. Okay.
Which ended up being like, you know, if we spent $500 and they signed up, let's say we had 100, let's say we were making $150 and they signed up 100 people. So we just made, what, $15,000?
Yeah.
And we spent $500.
Yeah.
But that didn't happen all the time, obviously.
Yeah.
That was the best gym we ever had.
Yeah.
But, you know, anyway, it was progressively getting harder and harder to get leads because it became more competitive. And so,
because other people started doing the challenges and things like that.
So especially in like bigger cities, the gym owners there just became more savvy and they would start running their own ads. Where then we started targeting just towns under 100,000, and we had a ton of success with that because they're just smaller and people weren't really running ads yet. So like, we were the only ads they saw. But anyway, we knew that it was going to have kind of like an end day, you know, because
yeah,
it was
right.
getting too competitive. So what we started to do was build a gym management software, because what we saw was we'd get these people all these leads. They might have 300, they might have 500 leads and then 100 appointments booked, and they never follow up with those 500 leads again, even though we send them the leads.
Right. You know? They just go into the wayside.
And so we started building a gym management software that would allow them to do everything that we were doing.
So like a CRM for a gym, basically.
Yeah. But just do everything on the fitness side of it as well, like provide programming, but also just build landing pages, follow-ups, text messaging, everything there. So they could just set up funnels for the leads that were coming in.
Wow.
And so we do have that. That's another business that I'm a part of.
It's pretty fascinating, really. Did you ever think, like, when you were the strength trainer at SU, that you'd be like this business mogul with all these different funnels?
I don't know if
I'm
a business mogul, but no, definitely not. Like, that wasn't even.
Did you study marketing or anything like that when you were in school?
No.
Self-taught.
Man, I was all just meathead, exercise science. Yeah. That was my only interest. I'm like a kind of a, I try to just go all into something if I like it, you know? And
right.
So, like, I just loved working out. I love football, and so I figured, I might as well just do exercise science and become a strength coach.
Yeah.
And
did you use that same philosophy with marketing? Like, when you're like, I got to figure this out, so you just went all into it and figured out how to be good at it?
At one point, I think what helped was, I saw some other people around me that were having some success, and I was like, oh man, if they can do it, I can probably do it, you know, which is true. Like most people can do it, man.
It's not, absolutely.
Yeah. Like all you have to do is kind of put yourself out there. So I just started saying yes to every like opportunity I had and just try to figure stuff out. And then eventually some of them worked, some of them didn't. So
of all the different like spaces you're in now, which thing do you enjoy doing the most?
I mean, I still do a ton of programming of exercise.
You do.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I would say I still love the fitness side the most.
Yeah, that's your favorite. Yeah, I saw it. You did, what did you do, like a dad bod thing, like last year? Because of Jared Wheeler, I think is his name. Yeah, that was a pretty awesome transformation.
Yeah, he killed it. He was 39% body fat when we started, and when we ended, he was 12.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Yeah. So what do you think it, like, for that kind of transformation, is it more exercise or is it more diet? Like what would you say was the key to his success?
Diet.
Diet?
100% diet. Like, he just crushed the diet side.
And so what's your recommendation for that?
I knew you were going to ask that. I already have an answer. I don't really have one.
You don't?
No, the only thing that really matters is, like, calories in, calories out, getting enough protein. Outside of that, it's kind of whatever works for you. Everything works.
Yeah.
Anyone said it doesn't.
So really, it's just like the math.
Keto works, low carb works.
Less calories.
Flexible dieting. Just expending more calories than you're bringing
in,
you know what I mean? So like the hardest thing is like you need to know what your intake is and track it a little bit or you're never going to know how to fix it.
So to you don't think there's not one way that's better than another. It's just whatever works best for you and making sure that
it's like so dependent on who the person is.
Yeah.
Like everyone. So like a lot of our clients do really well with high carbs and a lot of them do horrible with high carbs and do really well with high fat. Every client is going to have a protein standard to hit.
Yeah.
And then the carbs, we'll give them calories, protein. We want you to hit this. And then how you mix up your carbs and fat doesn't really matter.
What's that? Oh, macros. Is that similar to macros? Like counting macros?
That's 100% what it is. Yeah.
That's what it is. Okay.
Yeah. And I'm not saying everyone has to do that because Jared didn't do that.
He didn't.
Nope. So he, in the beginning, we had him on more.
How long was that time frame?
It was long though. Like he lost quite a bit of weight in the first probably 5 months, but we probably worked with him for like 8 months.
Okay. Yeah. But still, that's amazing.
Oh yeah. He killed
39% to 12%. I mean, think how much years he added to his life.
Oh yeah. That's what I always tell him.
You know what I mean?
Jared's do you know Jared?
No, I don't know him personally. Oh, yeah. No.
Like, he's a good businessman, dude.
I know that. Yeah.
He's a savage. So it's been fun just to work with him and be around him.
Yeah.
But that's what I always tell him. I'm like, man, you probably are getting way more opportunities now that you're in shape.
Oh, for sure. Well, you feel differently about yourself.
Yeah.
You know, like, and so you stand different, you talk different, you just approach things differently.
About him is he moved really well, even though he was really out of shape. So that made it a lot easier for him to get in shape.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
So, okay. So he did his diet. The reason I'm curious is it's like, the whole idea of winning the moment, came around in 2019. Cause what I realized is I always showed up for other people, but I could never show up for myself. Right. So like if my boss was like, be at work at 6 o'clock in the morning, like I would obviously be there. Or if I had some task in front of me, like I would never like quit working before something was done. You know, like I would never fall short. Mm-hmm. And so I was always successful professionally, but not personally. And I was like, man, what? Like, what can I do to allow myself to show up for myself? Right. Cause like if you were going to meet me at the gym, then I would go. But if you called me and said, you're not going today, I'm not going either.
Jared wouldn't either, just so you know.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, honestly, I guess that was the other side of it.
An accountability partner.
Up for him every day.
Yeah, right. That's what you need. And so really what I was looking for is how can I create that accountability for myself? So I made a spreadsheet that tracked all the things that were important to me, like how much was I drinking? How much was I reading? How much was I exercising?
Alcohol?
Yeah, okay. like limiting it, you know, like it was good to not do it.
Yeah.
And so trying to get down
to trying to get your numbers up.
So trying to get down to like 2 days a week, right? And so then I did it. So this little spreadsheet with a green, I put a Y in it, it went green. I put an N, it went red. Mm-hmm. And just that little bit of like, and then seeing it, right? Because if you see like, if you drank for 7 days in a row and you've got seven yeses, it's like, oh God, I got to take a break, you know? Or even exercising. Like if you have a bunch of no's, it's like, God, I got to get back on it. And so having that really made a huge shift for me. So I lost like 40 pounds that year and it was amazing. And then that was going into 2020. I did a post on LinkedIn saying basically that I just shared, you know, I could never do it personally, but I can always do it professionally. If anyone else feels that same way, like I made a spreadsheet, I'll give it to you for free.
Oh, nice.
And I blew up. Like I don't have any like LinkedIn success whatsoever, maybe 3 or 4 likes a post, like nothing. Mm-hmm. And this one got like 2,500 likes, 500 comments. I sent out like 300 spreadsheets. It was like, wow.
Dang.
So a lot of people have this problem. But then COVID hit and we're in hospitality and it's like, we got like obliterated, you know?
I can imagine.
And I allowed myself to be a victim and just kind of lost that motivation because I just was like, poor me. And so that's really how I came up with winning the moment and the idea of the bracelet. So I move a bracelet when I decide in that moment. Like, I don't have to decide I'm going to work out every day for the rest of my life. I just have to decide today that I'm going to, and then I'll move a bracelet.
Okay.
But I didn't do as good of it this year as I would have liked to. So as we're in December, I really want to commit to like that philosophy. And so I'm trying to decide for myself, like, what should my diet, because I'd like to lose probably 30 pounds.
Yeah.
So it's like, I want to find some, I don't know what gym makes the most sense for me. I've done F45 in the past. I've done Orange Theory, but it's nice because I just go and I have to think and I just do what they tell me to do. But it's like, I don't know that that's the best type of exercise for a 37-year-old man.
I wouldn't say it's the best.
I don't think so
either. Unless
you
love it and you just want to keep doing it.
I don't love it.
The best exercise is whatever you love, honestly. Yeah. But I would say like F45 and those are more just cardio based.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they use weights, but they're just so light that they're not going to challenge you enough to like build muscle.
No.
And building muscle is going to help you lose weight a little bit easier.
Well, and it's going to help my life go longer.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
On the diet side of it, just I'll tell you what Jared did. In the beginning, we had him more of on like a structured, flexible dieting plan, meaning that we set his protein, his carbs and fat, and he just has a hard time with it. He's a lot like me. So like a lot of diet is personality based in my opinion.
Sure.
Like there's different categories that I like to put people in.
Yeah.
Some people they can do, it's called, have you heard of flexible dieting? It's just counting. So flexible dieting is counting there. So there used to be this old, like bodybuilders back in the day would have like strict, like I can only eat this type of diets and they still hit their macros though. But anyway, so now flexible dieting comes along and says like, hey, you can still hit your macros, but have a cookie every day or fit this into your macros, you know?
Got it. Like, yeah. Like don't deny all pleasure.
Yeah. You have 300 carbs, you have 80 grams of fat. Like you can fit something that you really like in there.
It's
just going to have to like sacrifice somewhere else a little bit. You know?
Right.
But Jared has the mentality, I can't do that. So like I count macros and I can hit that. But if I go off and say like, oh, I can have a donut today, the whole box is going down.
Yeah, right.
Like, I'm not stopping.
That's how I am. Yeah, I can't have treats in my house.
Yeah, once it goes down, like I have no willpower with that kind of stuff.
And that's how I'm with drinking too. I can't have one drink.
No, I can't either. I really can't. That's why I just stopped drinking.
Yeah. Like, so you don't drink at all now?
Dude, if some is good, more is better.
That's what I say, man. It's the same for me.
And even with like exercise for me, you know?
Yeah.
That's
just your personality
bane of my
style.
Existence. Like, yeah. I want to work out more. I want to do this. So anyway, that's how eating is with me. A lot of people don't resonate with that, but a lot of people that have food eating problems, they do. Right.
Yeah.
And so really the thing that they need is to find a strategy that works for them.
Yeah.
For Jared, he's the same way. Like he doesn't do well that way. If he has something bad to eat, he just stays on the bad track.
Yeah.
So what he did, it was kind of more of a little bit of an elimination diet where he just cut out bad foods completely. And he did more of a low carb diet.
So basically cutting out sugars.
Yeah, he didn't eat a lot of carbs at all.
Okay.
Like he wanted to go keto. He didn't go keto. He didn't count macros. He essentially went really low carb and was like, hey, I'm going to eat. Like he'd go to Outback every day, get like two chicken breasts and a salad.
Yeah.
But then he just lather that thing in ranch. But he had and that's like really, the ranch is high fat.
Yeah.
But ultimately he was going so low carb that he could afford to have that fat.
That he could afford the ranch.
Yeah, and like the fat is very satiating, and so is protein. And so for him, it was a way for him to eat something that tastes very good for him.
Yeah.
Get his calories down, and he didn't feel hungry.
And he could enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I'd been thinking about doing the carnivore, so I bought half a cow so I could have like really, really good meat, but I haven't done it yet. I've like done pieces of it, but I'm not like fully committed to it.
What kind of carnivore are you going? Straight up meat?
Yeah.
Or like a Paul Saladino style.
Eggs and meat. No, who's that?
He used to call himself the carnivore MD, but he does like he was a vegan at one point. Then he went all in on just carnivore.
Oh, and interesting. Now, from vegan to carnivore.
Now it's more, he does more of like I would say it's like a low inflammatory diet where it's mostly just meat. And then he allows fruit as well. Cause he noticed that like
I feel like you should like saying you can't have fruit doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. So like his carbohydrate source is mostly like honey and fruit.
Okay.
It's all natural foods. He drinks like unprocessed milk and then mostly just everything else comes from like organs, like organ meat.
Like the liver
thing is, if you do carnivore, like it's a good idea to make sure you're eating organ meats because that's like where all your vitamins are going to come from.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't think I want to eat organ meats.
Most people don't, man. They don't taste very good.
Interesting.
But they're really just like multivitamins. Those things are just packed with nutrients. Like it's some liver, a little bit of heart, Oh man, you're getting.
Do you eat that?
A lot of vitamins. I try to, but I have a hard time too.
Yeah, how do you even? How do you even cook that? Just like
some people don't cook it; they'll just eat it raw.
God!
But you just cook it.
Ugh. Yeah. See, I don't know. That's probably a little too extreme for me. I think really for me, it's like I don't eat. It's not like my food habits are built on hunger; it's built on emotion. Like. Mm-hmm. You know, like chicken noodle soup makes me happy, so I want to eat a lot of it, you know?
What I found on that, because I'm kind of the same way, like stress makes me want to just eat and just like veg out.
Yeah.
If I make sure that I plan my meals before and I stay full, it's a lot easier to not make that decision, you know?
And I've done some of those things. Like I did this program called Wild Fit, which was all about like eating seasonally. Mm-hmm. So it was like you go through the seasons because that's how our body's meant to be. So it's like at this time of year, you eat this and then you eat that. And I really enjoyed that. Actually, I loved learning the science behind it. Mm-hmm. And that was awesome for me. I did really well with that. I stuck to that for the whole like 90 days of the program. That's probably the only thing I've ever, like diet restriction I've ever really? Stuck to. Yeah. But I got to figure it out.
I can tell that you don't have a lot of knowledge on like counting macros.
Oh, none.
Like protein, carbs, and fat.
Yeah, no.
And it's such an easy. I was talking to someone about it the other day because we've been hiring some coaches and stuff to do some one-on-one coaching.
Uh-huh.
It's such an easy concept that people build up in their head like it's hard.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, no, that's how it is for people. And it's like, dude, it's so easy. It's three numbers that you that add up to make your total calories. And it's like once you learn it, it's so easy.
So maybe that's what I should do.
You should do it. You should, like, everyone should at least, if you really want to like take control of your nutrition, at least learn what foods contain protein, carbs, and fat, and then you can make good decisions. And all you have to do that, eat the same that you're doing, download MyFitnessPal, and track what you're eating. And then look what's
I've
in
used
it.
That MyFitnessPal before.
Yeah, just look what's in it. And you're like, oh, okay, so a steak is high in protein and fat, depending on what kind of meat you have, you know?
Yeah.
And, like a lot of people just don't even know that.
No,
And once you know that, you have the power to actually make good decisions and understand like, oh, when I'm traveling, what should I eat? Oh, I have a lot of room for some protein and fat. Maybe I'll just go get some hard-boiled eggs at the little kiosk over there.
Yeah, right.
And that's going to fill me up because I know hard-boiled eggs fill me up.
Do you know who Body by Bree is? Do you familiar with her?
No, I don't think so.
So she's like a woman's fitness person.
Okay.
And my wife did a retreat a month ago or so, and she's all about macro base. And so my wife like bought like a macro cookbook and she came home like, we're doing macros. Like we're not doing carnivore. We're going to do this. And I was like, it just seems so confusing.
Yeah. I know.
Just it's like, me, like the idea of like, oh, I just eat meat. Yeah. I get that. That's easy for me to process.
Like it used to just like blow my mind that people find it confusing, right? And then I started thinking about the questions that I ask my accountant. He's probably like, what is this dude? Yeah. You know what I mean? And so I completely changed my mindset.
Yeah.
I'm just like, they just have a mental block on this right now.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's
like,
exactly
they haven't
what
learned it.
Yeah.
But it's so, like, once people do learn it, it's like, oh, like, you just really can take control of it.
So is that thing you did with Jared something that you guys offered at Fitness Culture, or was it just like a thing you did with him?
I just did it with him because we were building out a program that we launched online for people to do.
Oh,
so
okay.
They can follow the program that he did.
Oh, okay. So you can go and do Jared's program.
Yeah, exactly.
And where do you go to do that?
Just inside the Fitness Culture app.
Oh, in the Fitness Culture app. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And do you get that app if you're a member of the gym?
You can buy the app, yeah.
Okay.
It's just significantly discounted in the if you're a gym member.
If you're a gym member. Yeah. But even if you're not a gym member, you can still download the app.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. And what's that cost?
So we have two tiers. One's 50, one's 90 a month.
50 and 90.
Yeah.
Okay. I got to do something. It's getting old, you know?
Yeah.
37
I mean,
now.
I will say this. If you're one that likes to have someone to show up for you.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say F45 and that's not that bad, but they're not really showing up for you. You're showing up when you want.
Yeah. It's different because it's not like, it's not that one-on-one.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
If I don't go, they're not going to call me back. Like, hey Cody, like, are you going to be here today?
Yeah,
yeah. They don't give a shit. There's 24 other people there.
That's why hiring a one-on-one coach is probably like the best thing you can do.
I know. That's probably what I got to do.
So like the accountability factor, dude, if you just clean up your diet, if you move more and eat less, you're gonna like
right.
Have you ever seen that, like, it's on Mad TV? You gotta see it. Like there's this like skit where they're like, so what did you, like, all you have to do is move more and eat less, this new diet. And this lady's like, wait, I'm confused, how does it work? You literally just move more and eat less.
Well,
but at the end of the day, like, that's really true. And that's why, I mean, it's true to a certain extent.
No, it is true.
That's why
it's just people don't want it to be so easy.
Yeah, transforming accountability is like the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Having someone to help you stay accountable is huge.
I always say, like, no one is confused on how to be healthy. We just choose not to be. Yeah. But it's not like I know that my coffee drink isn't good for me, right? Yeah, I'm still just drinking it. Yeah, but it is as simple as eat less and move. But we just want it to be like, oh, I need to pay for this program because it's so complicated.
Yeah.
And without the program, I couldn't do it. But it's like you're just rationalizing that because you don't want it to be so easy because then you only have anyone to blame but yourself. Like, yeah, I know I look the way I do because I just stopped doing it. You know?
Exactly.
So I just got to get back on that train.
I'm the same way. Like, I have a decent amount of muscle, but I'm still 250 right now.
What do you want to weigh?
I mean, I'm usually like 235 if I'm leaner.
Okay.
So it's a little heavy for me. And it's just because I haven't been accountable.
Yeah.
You know? Just been not tracking anything, just eating whatever
it's
I
want.
It's
amazing what happens when you don't track.
Yeah.
It's interesting, too, to even hear that someone in your space and with your history of fitness, even you will fall into those traps of...
Dude, there's so many guys like me. If you go into the college strength and conditioning world, like, no offense to it, but there's a lot of coaches. Number one, they're so busy. Like, they're just training.
Oh, yeah. Their lifestyles just doesn't.
And like, their fitness takes a complete backseat. Like, a lot of them just don't even have time to train during the day, or when they do, it's just, I mean, they have time. Everyone has time, but you know, they're so burned out by the end of the day. Like, they might not do a great training session, and then they're definitely just eating. I mean, they know how to eat. They know exactly what to do.
Yeah.
It's just like, they just choose not to. It's not like, it doesn't, just knowing how to do it, it gives you the power to be able to transform.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean you're going to make that choice.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier when you're really, really hungry just to make a bat. That's why I was saying prepping your food and making sure you stay.
It's like not going to the grocery store hungry.
Yeah, exactly. Like, cause that's my problem.
Yeah.
Like, I'll just be on the computer for 8 hours and be like, oh man, I didn't eat. I didn't plan to eat today. And then I'm just like, bro, it's.
And then you want like pizza. You want something bad.
I feel like, oh man, I skipped a few meals. I can probably afford something. And then I just go off the rails 5,000 calories later. You know?
Well, and the food that we eat is just so packed, you know, like you get like a Cafe Rio or Costa Vida burrito. That thing's ripping 1,500 calories,
so many calories,
you know?
Yeah.
I'll put queso in it because it tastes good. And I'm like 1,750.
And I'll just eat two of those.
Yeah.
You can eat one. I'm going to eat two of those things.
That's hilarious. Okay, well, that's good. I'm glad we had this conversation. I wasn't necessarily planning on that, but I think that's helpful. It gives me perspective.
Yeah.
And I think you're totally right. You got to have a coach. You got to have that accountability partner.
Yeah.
It just makes such a huge difference. And I also know, because I, like, my exercising growing up was all just sports related. Mm-hmm. So it was more or less like just playing sports, you know? And then, of course, in high school and stuff, we had strength training, but you had someone there telling you what to do. So if, like, I went to a gym today, I wouldn't even really know what I was doing.
Yeah.
And I know the basics, you know, but I wouldn't, like, I would have no idea how to go. Like, if I was going to say, all right, here's the weekend ahead of me, I'm going to the gym 4 days a week, I would have no idea what I should even be doing on those 4 days.
Yeah, and it's easier to, like, sign up for an app like Fitness Culture and have a plan laid out for you.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, I mean, what I would do, honestly, even for someone that hasn't been doing that for a while, well, I was going to say, follow like something from the app and get a trainer to fix your form, but they're probably going to want to give you a program if they're training
their own thing.
But, like,
yeah.
The biggest thing is lay a solid foundation of form down first, and then you could step into an app. And
then just
go for it. You know?
What that brings up another question: how often do you think, like, how many days a week was Jared exercising? Was he doing it every day, or what was his exercise routine like?
I mean, we had him on a 6 day a week program, but I don't think maybe like twice he hit 6 days a week.
Okay,
so it's probably more like 4 or 5 days a week.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you think is, like, is there an optimal amount that you think, or is every person just different?
It's just a loaded question. What are you doing when you go into the gym?
Sure.
Are you doing a 30-minute workout? Are you just going to walk on the treadmill? Are you doing a 2-hour workout where you're just destroying yourself? Probably wouldn't do that every day.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Okay, so it really depends on the intensity.
The duration, the intensity, the volume that you're lifting at. That's how I would judge frequency. But I think you can do – I think anyone can do something every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As long as you're just not –
Yeah. I mean, think back to when you were an athlete.
Yeah.
That's why I think even when people
are – Yeah, like, that's a good point.
They're like, oh, you shouldn't do high-intensity interval training every day. And I'm like, every athlete in the world does it every day. And they're just fine, man.
Yeah, for long periods of time.
Exactly. Like, what do you think they
– Yeah.
They do – Their football players are running as fast as they can, hitting people, lining back up.
Well, and even like practice. Even the NBA players, after a game, they go and lift after.
Exactly.
And that is like the most, that's full interval. It's nonstop.
All day, they're just running as fast as they can, stopping, running as fast as they can. They lift that day. So.
Well, and I finally went and played basketball again this week, and I could feel it like in my knees where it was the first, I told my friends yesterday, I said, it was the first time ever I felt like, oh, I could get hurt. Cause like I had other friends who'd be like, oh, I can't come play basketball. I'll break my ankle or whatever. And I was like, no, you're not going to get hurt, dude.
You're just it's like, basketball. Oh, my knees aren't quite as stable as they used to be.
And then I made a move and I was like, oh, Like, if I do that too much, it's going to go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that really made me think, like, I just got to get back in shape, because if my strength was there and my weight was reduced, I wouldn't have had that, yeah, you know?
I guess the real answer to that question is, like, I would at least lift at least full body twice a week.
Okay.
That, like more like not how much you should do. What is the minimum you could do?
Okay,
like,
yeah, that's probably a better answer. What's the minimum?
Yeah, and I would probably lift at least full body, you know, for an hour if you had a good program, twice a week to make sure that if you want to get in shape. And then I would do some sort of cardio outside of that.
Yeah.
Every day.
Any cardio is good.
Anything small, you know, just anything that you're doing. Blood pumping a little bit.
Do you know, like, the real business owner? Do you know Trevor Cowley?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our gym.
Oh, he does. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, you can't.
Oh, yeah, you ran with him, didn't you? Like, yeah, you didn't train.
You can't walk into that gym without hearing Trevor.
I love Trevor.
So I love how he tells
his
stuff.
You ran, like, his one of his 37 or 36 miles, like, without even training,
the
right?
The first time that, yeah, well, he came into the gym, because he talks so much shit. I love talking shit with him.
Yeah.
He was talking about how he'd been training to run that 37.
Yeah.
And I was talking shit about it. And he's like, all right, come run with me tomorrow. And I was like, all right. And I just showed up and did it.
That's,
and I haven't trained at all.
Eli, my barber, told me some stories of that, of you, where, like, people will be, like, talking shit, and you'll just be like, just go down and be like, whatever, like, in your work clothes, and just be like, pop, pop, pop.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you talk shit, you gotta back it up a little bit.
So in that vein, so Trevor did that, and I thought, man, that is cool. Like, yeah. I'm going to do that. And so I decided last year on my 36th birthday, I'm going to run 37 miles on my 37th birthday. And so I started running every day, and then I stopped, and I haven't ran since.
Oh, really?
And so it's like, now it's December. My birthday's in April. So it's like, well, I think I can still do it. Because if I start, and I think in 3 months, I could easily lose 20 pounds. So that's going to make that a lot easier.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to try and do 75 hard at the beginning of the year. What do you think of that program?
What do I think about 75 hard?
Yeah.
I think it's good if you're very disciplined and failure doesn't shut you down and make you just quit.
That's the hardest part. That's what happened to me last year. So
because
I did
so
it.
So many people, it's a little bit too hard for most people to fit. Cause it's like, you got to do this, and this.
It's work a lot outside, of check marks. Like, yeah.
There's a lot of check marks. Most people fail.
Yeah.
And I think, it's hard to, if you're the type of person that you fail that and then you fall off completely because you feel like, oh, I'm a failure. I lost my consistency. Then I don't think it's good for people.
I know.
For most people,
happened to me.
It's just a mindset thing. Like, just get over it and just don't do that anymore and go work out 4 times a week, you know?
Yeah.
But most people don't act. They're like, oh, I'm all or nothing. Like, I quit doing it, so I'm not going
to
work out anymore.
That's what happened to me. I got sick. I did really good. I'd done it for, like, I was probably 40-ish days in, and then I got sick and I missed it. And then I was like, well, I'm not going to start over again. So instead, I just opted to not exercise.
That's what I'm saying. I'm just like, oh, I'm just not to do anything anymore.
So that's not, that wasn't very smart.
Yeah, that's why it's more like consistency is the key for anything.
Yeah.
If you do something every day, you're going to be all right.
Yeah, that's the more you do it, the easier it is to do it.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
It just becomes your routine.
So you're going to try to run that? I'll run it with you.
You will? Yeah. Well, that's what I said is, like, I was like, you know, instead of getting me a gift, like friends and family, it's like, just come run a mile or 2 miles or 3 miles or 4 miles. Like, you pick whatever you want, you know? And so I think it'll be cool to get people to do that with me. And that'll obviously help me do it. Cause then, And one of my friends the other day was like, well, you're still going to do it? I was like, if I got to fucking walk, I'll walk it. But like I'm doing it. I'm doing it.
You're going to be walking a little bit.
Yeah. Oh yeah. A little bit. But I mean, if I have to walk the whole thing, I will. But I'm doing it, you know, one way or the other, I'm doing it.
That's kind of how I approached it with, Trevor. Like, I literally hadn't ran over a mile in months when I went and did that with him.
How'd you feel after?
I felt all right.
You did?
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
I had signed up to do that. So I'd ran a marathon before. I used to do a half marathon every year, and then I'd done the marathon once. I didn't like the marathon, actually. I enjoyed doing the halves, but the full was just like, I just didn't like it. Like, when I was done, I wasn't like, that was fun.
Yeah. Dude, it's a lot of miles.
Yeah. I was like, that actually sucked.
Yeah.
I'm not, but I do like the halves. But so I was going to do the full this year, but then it was like, man, I can't do it. Yeah. So it's time to get it going. Okay. So I think that covers your backstory pretty well, covers some really awesome backgrounds. So a couple questions for you that I have like to ask all the guests. First one, this one's really important and it's kind of a hard question to answer, but what would you say your why is? Like, what's your purpose in your life currently?
Currently?
Yeah. I think it changes. I think it evolves.
I mean, obviously you have the answers of like providing for my family and my wife and stuff.
Do you guys have kids?
No, we don't.
No.
So my wife just, I don't know if you knew.
I did know. Yeah.
Breast cancer.
I didn't know if you would want to talk about it or not, but I've been watching her journey. She's been really inspirational, honestly.
Yeah. So we were planning to start having kids since, like really soon. Like,
and then that happened.
Yeah, and then that happened. And so now going through chemo and stuff, it's like one of those things where we did a round of IVF and like got some embryos ready to go.
Yeah.
We're probably going to have someone else carry the baby. So we're trying to look into that right now.
Okay. Is she in remission?
Yeah, I don't know if it's technically called remission, but she's cancer-free right now.
Oh, she is. Yeah, that's awesome.
Because I think with the type of cancer she had, it was like the most aggressive breast cancer. It's called triple negative.
Oh, wow.
So like technically, like if you make it past 2 years without a reoccurrence, you're doing really well. And then 5 years, it kind of just clears you. So that's kind of why she doesn't want to – she went through some stuff to make it so she could still potentially carry a child.
Yeah.
And there's still no guarantee because sometimes the chemo just like
wipes
your eggs out and all that.
Yeah.
But – we just don't – she doesn't want to carry a child right now with a chance of cancer coming back.
Yeah, right. Pregnant, of course. You know I mean? Of course.
So that's kind
of well, she's been an inspiration. Like just seeing her kick ass. Like when I see her at the gym still and it's like, God, she's going through all that and she's out there just putting in the work.
Yeah.
And I don't have any excuses, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been awesome to watch that. What about – so with Winning the Moment, so much of it is about like being present and just, you know, living in the now. But I think you still have to have something that like some overarching thing you're working towards. I like to say like 3 years down the road, it's like a big, hairy, audacious goal. Is there anything that you're working towards now that you're like, oh, there's this exciting milestone down the road that I'm trying to achieve?
I mean, so recently what we've been trying to do with our software is make it so that we spent the last year just redoing the entire backend to make it so it's a platform that anyone can kind of sign up and build their own app.
And so, so it's almost like they wouldn't need you. They could just like go get in and plug and play and make their own app.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
And so we're working towards that goal.
That's exciting. That's
my goal is to hopefully have that launched. I mean, probably in the next year to 18 months.
That's cool.
So, yeah.
That's your biggest thing you guys are working on now?
Yeah, that's the biggest thing.
What does like your progression with work go? Like, do you want to be retired or do you like to work? Like, do you hope that that app takes off and then you can just be hanging out all the time? Or do you like the grind of building and creating?
No, I like to work.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I'd ever not work. It's kind of like, so my dad, he's a worker. You don't do it. Like when we're, he doesn't sit around.
Yeah.
And I inherited that as well. Like my wife can't stand it. Like I don't going on vacation. I can't just hang out and relax. Like I got to go do something.
You can't just like sit by the pool there and hang out.
Hell no. That's like torture to me. Like that's why I like working out so much. Cause it's always an excuse. It's like, all right, I'll just go on a run while you guys are sitting here doing nothing.
Yeah.
So like for me, that's kind of what work is. It keeps me busy and it keeps my mind focused on a goal. Like I like having goals and I like achievement. That's like another thing. That's like one thing that probably, what was your initial question? The thing that like
purpose. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Like achievement.
Yeah.
Like I like to achieve, I like to work hard to achieve something and feel like I set a goal. I worked for it and I achieved it. So I think that pushes me a lot. And
is that from sports, you think?
I think so. Yeah. I think just like I've always had, bringing up my parents, I was thinking about it the other day. Like I've always just trying to wanted to make them proud of me.
Sure.
And like a lot of that was through athletics.
Yeah.
And so
do you have siblings?
Yeah, I do. I have just one older brother.
One older brother. Is he an athlete like you?
No, he's not.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in that sense, we're very different. Like we're a lot different. Like I don't think he really cares that much about, I wouldn't say he doesn't care about achievement.
I thought you weren't going to say that.
What's that?
I said I thought you were maybe going to say that, and then I saw you pause back. Well, that's probably not. That's probably not right.
I'm not saying he doesn't care about that, but like he doesn't. He's not obsessive about things like I am.
Yeah,
you know, like he could just go hang out by the pool.
Yeah,
on vacation.
So what do you do to relax then? Like, what is relaxing to you?
I mean, I guess I relax at my house.
Like watching sports or?
Yeah, just like watching TV or something at the end of the night.
Because at least you got something on that you're focused on.
Just kind of like zone out.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like just being outside and doing stuff is relaxing
to
me. But I'd rather, if we were like out boating, I don't want to sit on the boat and drink. I'd rather
be fishing.
Wakeboarding or doing something like that. No, okay. Definitely not fishing.
Not fishing. That's great. Okay. So then this one is, you can define a win in whatever capacity that you want, but what would you say is the biggest win you've ever had in your life?
That's a hard one for me. I
don't know. Because you got so many?
No, I don't know. It'd be the opposite almost. I feel like I haven't really had that big win yet.
Oh, really? Yeah. That's interesting. I mean, with all the stories you shared, you played college football.
Yeah, but I didn't go to I didn't make it to the NFL.
That's so funny.
That would have been the big win.
Wow, I can totally see the way that your brain works is that like you're always looking for more, right?
I just don't think I've really hit that big win yet. So it's hard for me to say.
Wow. So that's interesting. You're the first person.
I'm a person that doesn't get that excited about accomplishments. Either, yeah. Which is weird. Like that I just said that I
No, it actually makes sense because if once you have it, you're ready for that next one, right? And like, yeah. It looks like what you said is none of them have been the big enough win yet.
Like it's just like, all right, we did it. Like, well, there's always like something else to do. You know?
Did you have a chance at the NFL? Like, were you close? Did you do the combine and stuff? Or,
I mean, yeah, I definitely had a chance, but I kept having foot injuries when I went to, I walked on to Utah State and I started as a freshman. And I
wow, you being, walked on and started.
Yeah, and I ended up being a freshman All-American that year.
Wow, so why do you think you didn't get a scholarship? Like, why didn't they, like, see you in high school and think, like, oh.
I don't know. I was just not that many people out of Idaho at the time were getting recruited.
Okay.
And I was seen as undersized for a linebacker. I mean, my senior year, I ended up – I was only 175, 6 foot my junior year. Oh, senior year.
Of high school?
Yeah. Okay. Senior year football season, I was 205. But then I graduated at 225. So
wow.
Like, they didn't really – like most people get recruited their junior year.
Got it. Okay.
Year, junior year, you know.
That's amazing to be a walk-on and be a freshman All-American. That's incredible.
Yeah, I think it was one of those things. It's kind of like I won the moment.
Yeah.
Like literally, I came in, there's a new coaching staff. This is
okay,
this
so
is
they're
the
not
story is why I started, right?
Okay.
So, and during spring ball, so I didn't pass my physical when I first went to Utah State. They sent me back home cuz I had a bulging disc in my back and it was like making my foot numb. That staff got fired. I came back in the spring. And during spring ball, a starter got hurt, and his backup was a different – it was a different – so, I mean, you play football.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, he was – like, we had three linebackers.
Okay.
You know, like, yeah. Strong, uh-huh. Little weak. He was playing strong side linebacker, and I was playing weak at the time, but I was, like, third string because I was brand new. You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, the guy in front of him got hurt. Coach is like trying to bring his backup in, and he's like, or maybe it wasn't his backup, I don't know. And he's like, I don't know that position, so I just ran out on the field.
Oh shit! Yeah. So you did win the moment.
I just balled out, right?
Yeah.
And then I was starting. I never stopped starting after that.
No way. Was that in a game that happened? That you just
no,
went out there?
Like it was like a
practice.
It was like a 2 minute. It was like a live part of practice, like a 2 minute
okay.
drill.
Yeah.
And I just ran out, and I played really well.
And then you just never
I
lost
just took
it.
The spot. It was weird. Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing. So I love that.
Yeah, and then I had a really good spring ball, and so I just started from then on.
So did you think, was there ever a time that you thought, like, man, I could make it to the NFL?
Yeah. That's all I cared about. Like,
that was
after I had a good freshman year, I was like, all right, this could be a thing for me. And then my sophomore year, I broke my foot, but then I just kept breaking my feet every year. So, like, after my
– How'd you break your foot?
I just kept getting stress fractures in my navicular bone. It's, like, one of the most weight-bearing bones, like, right in the middle of your foot.
Oh.
And, like – sophomore year, I ended up, after game three, not playing the rest of the season. Junior year, I just played the entire year with my foot broken. Senior year, I played literally that year, both my feet were broken. My right foot was broken in two spots, but they would just
hit you
at didn't
that
practice
zone.
At all. They hit me with lidocaine, numb my feet up, and I just played in the games. And then after that season, I ended up getting a year back. I went and had surgery on both my feet at the same time. I was in a wheelchair for like better part of 4 months. And I didn't make it back for the season that I got back. And so I kind of just quit. Anyway, it was a whole thing.
Oh,
so
my
like
gosh.
My career kind of – it kind of got extended that way.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, here's the thing. At the end of the day, if you're good enough, you're going to play in the NFL.
Yeah, right.
Like I don't care if you got injured or whatever.
Yeah.
Like when you – like there's plenty of guys that are – that are really good players that got injured and are still playing.
Yeah, and right.
So it just is what it is. I was a pretty good college football player, but I don't know. I probably had the talent to be decent, but there's a lot of guys that do. Like,
yeah, right.
Like anyone that, anytime even like, I was playing in an all-star game and I was talking to a scout from the Cowboys at the end of my career. And he's like, hey, just so you know, like, we like you a lot, but there's a lot of really good players that could play in the NFL that never will.
Wow.
Yeah, it's funny. Just like setting like expectations.
Do you still have problems with your feet? Like after you ran with Trevor, was that hard on your feet? Or they,
no, that kind of stuff doesn't hurt. But if I cut a lot, like at football,
oh, okay.
If I was cutting and running and pushing on people, yeah, they get lit up. Because I just have three screws and both naviculars in my feet now.
Oh, so. Was that hard for CrossFit or was it fine?
No, because CrossFit's the same. You're not cutting at all.
Yeah.
It's a lot of just like
stationary.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you're running and moving a little bit, but it's not like, it's not the same, you know, how sports are.
What was your biggest success with CrossFit? Did you like, what was your highest level of competition you had there? Did you win anything significant?
I went to the game, to the actual CrossFit games.
Oh, you did?
A couple times. Yeah. Just on a team though.
Okay.
So we took third 1 year and then I took a team from my gym the next year, but we didn't do that well. We took like 15th.
Is that where you met Brooke and Zat? Is that CrossFit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I met her through brute strength. She was one of our she was one of our athletes.
I went to high school with her.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So that's how we met Steve, actually.
I mean, it's amazing what she's done.
So Brooke's husband at the time played with Steve.
Oh,
so that's how we got connected.
Okay.
He wanted to get into CrossFit.
Yeah, small world. Yeah. Okay, so then opposite of that question, what's the biggest loss you've ever had in your life?
I don't know, man.
No losses, no wins.
I mean, not making it past college football was a pretty big loss. Yeah. That's probably like the most disappointing for me.
You hung with you for a while.
Yeah, like, definitely hung with
me. How long do you think it took you to like process that and be comfortable with it?
So after I couldn't make it back from my year at Utah State,
yeah,
I ended up not going back there. And just like, I was in the wheelchair forever. I legit fell into like a depression.
Of course.
I didn't want to do anything.
As an athlete who like was now stuck to a wheelchair. And you hate being stagnant. So that must have been like prison.
I was like, I'm done with this. Well, whatever. And then I got better. I started training again, but I lost, my eligibility was done.
Yeah.
At that point. I'm from Pocatello. I started just training at Idaho State because one of my buddies up in Canada, you're eligible forever up there.
So oh,
like,
really?
Some, not really forever, but like
for a long
you only
time.
Lose your eligibility when you play.
Okay.
Until a certain age. And so I was like, oh, I'm going to go up there and try to give it a shot up there. The coaches at Idaho State saw me training. And so they're like, hey, if we can get you eligible, will you come play here? I was like, yeah, I don't want to go to Canada, you know? And so they were able to like petition the NCAA and got me eligible for a year. Anyway, and then I ended up playing there. What will that be?
Your biggest loss? Because I said, how did you recover from?
So like anyway, so I was chasing it for a while. I played at Idaho State. I was getting a lot of people coming and like telling me I was going to have a shot. Most wanted me to play fullback at the next level. So I did chase it for a while in that sense.
Oh, they wanted you to play fullback. That's interesting.
Yeah, just because.
Big and strong.
Yeah, like I said, they just thought like a transition for me at the next level.
Yeah.
Anyway, I chased it for a while, but immediately when I was like, what really happened was I didn't get drafted. I was going to go play in the CFL.
I was going to ask that.
My feet got hurt and I was just like, I'm done with it. And I'd seen so many people hang around and act like they deserved it.
Yeah.
It happens a lot on like college teams, like people just hanging around town and like just thinking they still have a shot, still trying to train, like be around the team. And it's like, dude, my shot's over. It's not. So like, it was disappointing, but I got over it instantly.
Yeah.
Like I just called my buddy up at SUU. That I play, he had played with me at Utah State. Uh-huh. He was a strength coach at the time. And I was like, hey, man, I want to get into strength and conditioning. And then I just moved on. Like, it wasn't, I didn't dwell on it.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like you're the type that would.
But I was like, all right, time to move on.
Tomorrow.
And I'm not going to act like I deserved that.
Yeah.
I didn't. Like, if you're good enough, you'll get there.
That's a good perspective. I really like that. So did you have, like, in business, was there a mentor that, like, really helped guide you through all of these, like, business transactions that you've made? Or is that kind of all self-directed?
All self-directed out to.
That's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah. I had people around me that have also been very successful though.
Yeah.
So being able to talk to them and like what they've done.
It's important who you surround yourself with.
So my buddy that we started Brute with, like really when we started Brute Strength, him and another guy were owners and then that kind of brought me into the fold.
Okay.
And like he's had some other successful businesses since then.
Yeah.
And so like just kind of like following his lead and seeing what he did helped me out a lot too.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
I've been around a lot of people that have done really well as far as entrepreneurs. And I think I ask them questions.
Yeah. I think your gym has a like,
so many are there.
Yeah. It's worth paying for a gym membership at Fitness Culture just to be around those people. You know what I mean? Like really,
there's a lot of heavy hitters there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so many people I can think of, I know when I'm there getting my haircuts, I see them coming in and out.
Yeah.
Okay. So then what about, are you a reader at all? What's your most impactful book you've ever read?
I don't know on that one either, man.
All right, that's okay. You've never read my book, right?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you haven't? Okay, no. So we got to get you
I was
to
listening
do that.
To some of these podcasts this week.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That's when I found out you wrote a book.
Oh, really?
So I need to read that.
Yeah, that's good.
I don't think there's ever been one that just like...
really stuck with you?
The way that I thought.
Yeah.
Because I didn't really start reading business books until I kind of already had... I don't know. Like my identity was already figured out.
Yeah.
From athletics, you know?
Sure.
Like, so I like all these like Atomic Habits, those kind of things.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I already had those habits.
Yeah, that's probably true.
You build them growing up in football and working hard that's and just showing totally up every true. Day. And so like, I read it, it's impactful, but it's like, I'm already doing it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that
not
makes sense.
To, not in like a
area. No, I don't think like, that it you is. You're right. You've got you've already got those habits built.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's not something new for you. What about, so for routine, like when you feel like you're optimizing your personal life, is a routine that you follow pretty religiously or do you just let it fly?
When I let it fly, then stuff falls apart.
Yeah.
As far as like, yeah, like why I weigh 250 right now.
Sure.
So, I mean, also my wife having cancer kind of like threw a wrench into things, yeah. So like change schedules up a little
yeah.
bit. But yeah, I have to follow a routine.
You do. So what, like when you're optimizing and you think you're at your best performance, what does your routine look like on a day?
Right now I like to wake up pretty early, work for like an hour, probably 90 minutes.
So you get up and you work right away. Because your brain's the cleanest at that time?
Yeah,
is that why?
Yeah. So I'll try to set before I go to bed. I wouldn't say like work on a project that I want to start in the morning, but lay out what I want to work on when I start in the morning.
Got it.
Because then I can just jump right into it. Like I'm already thinking about like, how am I going to get this done?
Well, and don't you think your mind when you're sleeping is already working on that for you a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
You know?
And then I wake up and it's like the most productive hour and a half of my entire day.
Absolutely.
Before anyone bugs me, which is probably from like 5:30 to 7.
Okay.
Maybe like 6 to 7:30.
Yeah.
And then I've just been doing, I go into do cardio for a while. I try to have like, I have a garage gym that I just set up right now.
Okay.
So I'll work for a little bit. I'll do cardio for a little bit right now. Then I'll lift and then I'll get into like my actual work day.
Okay. I like that. That's smart to go and take like whatever the biggest project you have, work on that first in the morning before anyone's up doing stuff bothering you. So you can have uninterrupted work.
Yeah.
Then do your exercise and then get into the regular day. I like that.
Some other, and it's just like, I used to get up and just work and not like have something set aside, like a project set aside.
Yeah.
Like with what we do, it's like we're building apps. So there's a lot of projects there.
Yeah.
Like design changes,
right.
Like adding content to the apps. And like you have to sit down, focus, and like give feedback or put that content in.
Oh, yeah.
Getting away from the mic. Put that content in.
Right.
Or like if I'm writing an exercise program, like I need to know, like I need to think about exactly how I'm going to lay it out for the next 8 weeks. And
yeah.
Just go execute it with no one bugging me. And if they bug me, it's going to take me, instead of taking me a couple twice hours, it's going to take me eight, yeah. Like all 2 days, you know?
Yeah.
Every time that they bug me, I have to be like, wait, where was I going? What am I going to do next?
Yeah.
And I got to spend 10 minutes figuring that out before I move on. So I just recently learned that, oh, if I just wake up, already have it mapped out and just go get it done.
Yeah.
I'd do a lot better.
My mind is by far, it performs way better at the early morning time than any other time of the day.
Yeah. I know a lot of people, like my wife's the opposite. Like she does really well late at night.
See, that's interesting is I can also, I'm really good in the mornings, but if it was like 10 o'clock at night and I had to work on something, then I can get really good work done then too.
I suck at night.
It's not for you.
So I'm over at night. I'm going to bed at 8:30. So.
Yeah, because you're going to have to 5 o'clock in the morning. That makes sense. Okay, so then last question. How do you define success?
Let's see. I mean, I think there's a lot of different definitions of success.
Well, the reason I like the question is because I want to know your perception of it, because I think what happens, like, cause I was just at SU on Tuesday talking to their business class. And I think that so many of those kids are sitting there thinking that like success is already outlined and they have to follow like this path that exists versus asking themselves like, well, what is it that I even want?
Yeah. What is it for me? Like success would be if other people around me are talking about me, they have good things to say.
Yeah.
I like that. And they see me as like a stand up guy and a good person and someone's going to come through for them.
Yeah. I like that.
That matters to me more than I've never been like anyone. I don't really care about money. Like I said, I do enjoy like achieving things.
Yeah.
And it's fun to work towards things.
Yeah.
But really like, the things that I value the most are the relationships with my friends and how they think of me and my wife and my parents and how they think of me.
I like that.
And making sure that as long as I have good relationships with them and they think really highly of me, like that's success to me. That's what matters most in my life.
Yeah. I love
like
that.
If my friends think I'm just a piece of shit and all I care about is making money, like that would make me feel like my life would be worth nothing. Yeah.
Even if you had all the money in the world.
It'd be worth nothing.
Yeah.
So I'd just be lonely and be miserable, you know? So like, that's my definition of success.
I like that.
Just that's because I didn't grow up in a family that had a ton of money, but I would consider my dad very successful.
And what did your dad do? Like when you were growing up?
He just a blue collar guy. He started off working at Les Schwab Tires. And then, I mean, he did work up to being like a district manager by the time that we were older.
Yeah.
So like, it's not like he did well financially.
Yeah.
But he was still just like he's a blue collar guy.
Yeah.
He's just a hardworking guy. It's not like he wasn't like your, how can I say that? He wasn't like an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
He definitely wasn't.
Uh-huh.
But he was just a really hard worker that did a really good job, showed up every day, and then got into a pretty high position in the Leshwalb tire business.
Well, I don't know your dad, but I'm sure he's pretty awesome because you can tell that like your relationship with him is very important to you.
Oh, yeah. And my mom.
Yeah.
But they both grew up very, very, very poor and they work very hard.
So that's awesome. Yeah. Do they live down here in St. George? Or?
They live in Phoenix now.
Oh, in Phoenix.
So my dad's not a big cold weather guy.
Yeah.
I get to see him quite a bit. Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. Okay. Well, anything you want to leave the audience with? No. What about us? What's the best way for them to connect with you? Like if they're listening and they thought like, oh, that app sounded interesting. Like should they go to the Fitness Culture Instagram, your Instagram, a website? Where should they go?
Yeah. Fitness Culture Instagram. They can fitnessculture.com.
Okay.
If they want to sign up for the app and check out those programs.
Can they also go to the app store and download it there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They can go straight to the app
store. Just Fitness Culture.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Just Fitness Culture in the app store. And then I kind of fell off on social media. I would say
You haven't posted. Like your last post, I think, was because looking at it today before you came on, it was like with the one of Jared, I think. It was January of this year.
I'm not good at social media, man. I'm more of like a behind the scenes kind of guy.
It's funny because you say that, but you got like 60,000 followers.
Yeah. I guess so.
I'd say that's pretty good.
I mean, I used to post a decent amount, but I just kind of quit.
Yeah. Now you just focus on it for your clients.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, I will put all those links and everything in the show notes. So if you're listening and you're interested, you can just go to the bottom of the page, click on that, and it'll take you to all the information. But Jake, thanks so much for being here. I really loved
it. Yeah, man, this is fun. Sorry that I had so many weird pauses when you asked me questions. I didn't have the answer.
Pauses are good. I like pauses, and I tell people it's important to embrace the silence because I'd rather you think about what the answer is than just feel like I've just got to respond. You know what I mean? Yeah. That shows that there's thoughtful intention, so I prefer it, honestly.
Oh, thank you.
All right.
Cool.